CBS News. The martial law government claims work is returning to normal in Poland, but the reality may be otherwise. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Warsaw Radio quotes government officials as saying that about 1,000 miners will resume work today at the Piast mine in Silesia after a sit-in that lasted nearly 2 weeks. That was apparently the last full-scale protest of its type against martial law. But uncensored reports out of Poland say many workers are engaging in industrial sabotage, turning out automobile parts that don't fit. And dock workers at the port of Szczecin are merely recycling cargo, loading and unloading the same goods. British newspapers say thousands of workers have been fired for refusing to resign from the now suspended labor movement Solidarity. President Reagan today plans to announce a series of economic and political sanctions against the Soviet Union because of its involvement in the Polish crackdown. Reportedly, the president will halt the export of high technology to the Soviets and block the sale of equipment for a pipeline that would carry natural gas from Siberia to Western Europe. Now this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, note this toll-free number, 800-821-7700. You are invited to telephone Vantage Press, a leading New York subsidy publisher, for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. Just call this toll-free 800 number, 821-7700. This brochure explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. The number is 800-821-7700. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, this 40-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, dial 800, then 821-7700. The phone call is free. If this is your first book, you will find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Dial 800, then 821-7700, except Alaska and Hawaii.
Conditions appear to be normal today at the Chrome Avenue Federal Detention Center near Miami, where several hundred Haitian refugees staged a hunger strike over the holidays. Charles Gomez has details.
A government official here says a rumor kept Haitian refugees at a federal detention facility fasting for 5 days. In a hunger strike which sparked an angry demonstration between rock-throwing protesters and guards lobbing tear gas. But the same official says the strike is now apparently over. All 600 Haitians ate lunch yesterday after the INS circulated a memo. That memo denied a rumor that the refugees would be detained an additional year at the camp for ending the strike. Immigration officials are criticizing Haitian activists who they say are using the refugees as pawns to gain attention. They say the activists have instigated not only the strike, but a protest in which Haitian demonstrators tried to rush into the facility. 110 Haitians escaped during the incident. Although the strike appears to be over, Haitian leaders say they will stage more demonstrations until all the refugees are released. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Miami.
Italian authorities today are still examining a photograph of American Army General James Dozier, who was kidnapped by Red Brigade's terrorists December 17th. The photograph was released by his captors over the weekend. CBS News correspondent Gary Shepard reports a suspicion that it may not be genuine.
Some observers here have suggested that the photograph is a fake, perhaps taken months before the kidnapping and used by the Red Brigade's terrorists to give the impression that the general is still alive. However, Mrs. Judith Dozier, the general's wife, has looked at the photograph, and she has told authorities here in Verona that she believes it's authentic, it's genuine, and was taken after the kidnapping, which occurred 12 days ago.
That was Gary Shepard in Verona. Now this message.
Joe, wake up.
Why did
you buy such a noisy clock?
Noisy? It's just a normal ticking.
Well, it sounds like Big Ben to me.
Yeah, why don't you go back to sleep?
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, too.
Aspirin? But that's for a headache. Try Compose. It's great when occasionally you can't get to sleep. Yeah, I think I might have some.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose helps make you drowsy so you can fall asleep when you want to fall asleep. At bedtime.
Martha, time to get up.
Is it morning already?
What were you saying about not being able to get to sleep?
Oh, not after you gave me that Compose. It really helped me doze off.
It's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Get Compose from your druggist and insist upon the new formula.
A sense of strain has developed in relations between the United States and China. Peking is demanding that the Reagan administration clarify its decision to sell military spare parts to the Chinese nationalists. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Charles Percy is in the second day of a visit to Israel, where he's discussing the strain in relations with that country. He hopes to meet today with Prime Minister Begin. Former Foreign Minister Abba Eban today asserted that the recent actions of Begin and other Israeli leaders have compromised Israel's reputation for decency and reason. Senator Percy says those actions have repeatedly caught the Reagan administration by surprise.
Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Marianne Means. Shortly after the new year, the country will plunge into an orgy of celebration, marking the 250th birthday year of the first president, George Washington. This is especially appropriate in a rather unexpected way, because the major domestic problems of the great hero revolved around, guess what? The national deficit. President Reagan can take some historical comfort from the political and public miseries of Washington, who described his years in office as a period of extreme wretchedness. Furthermore, the birthday festivities may come as a welcome distraction. A lot of whooping and hollering is being planned. It wasn't until after his death that Washington became a genuine American icon who could do no wrong. He had a raft of problems during his presidency. Balancing the federal budget then, as now, was a major priority. General Washington had been forced to send his colonial soldiers home unpaid, and the army had accumulated large debts during the Revolutionary War. The new government reluctantly assumed the responsibility for all the debts. A few wealthy speculators bought up the right to collect the starving soldiers' pay, always cheaply and sometimes dishonestly. Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton, the first American exponent of the trickle-down theory, favored reimbursing the financiers instead of directly paying the soldiers. Hamilton's theory was that paying the soldiers would only scatter small sums around, whereas paying the urban money men would provide them with capital to bolster enterprises which would strengthen the economy. This, in the long run, was supposed to help the unpaid soldiers more than if they actually received their wages. Congress agreed with Hamilton, and supply-side economics carried the day. Taxes were a problem then as now also. States which had no substantial debts after the war objected to paying taxes to help those which did. The income tax had not been invented, and there were not enough major industries to be worth taxing. But excise taxes were so high that Washington had to put down a rebellion among frontiermen who made whiskey and felt the government was taking too big a chunk of their revenue. Washington himself was subjected to harsh criticism for everything from lavish living to misguided policies. He was relieved when his presidential ordeal was finished. But it is not this painful truth we honor in 1982, but the heroism and patriotism for which Washington stands. The reality is President Reagan's problem. This is Marianne Means for Spectrum.
Six personal opinions on Spectrum Monday through Saturday. Views not necessarily those of this station or the CBS Radio Network.
CBS News. The official word from the Polish military government, production is returning to normal. The unofficial word from other sources, the Polish people are still defiant. I'm Jay Jones reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The government-controlled media say the last strike is over in the Silesian coal fields and the mines are open today. But uncensored reports reaching the West say workers elsewhere are committing industrial sabotage. And as Dan Revive reports from London, Polish emigres claim resistance to martial law remains widespread.
At the BBC Polish service, broadcasting about 4 hours a day in Polish, Marek Staczynski said that independent but unconfirmed reports from Poland indicate that passive resistance is fairly widespread. Workers go to their factories, he said, but then don't do much work. This, he said, is what Warsaw Radio does not want the rest of the world to know about.
This strict censorship is apparently meant also to conceal a friction which, according to some reports we have received, friction between the military and the civilian authorities which may be quite explosive.
Many Poles who live here in Britain say there are many ways in which the martial law authorities in Warsaw could run into deep trouble. The economy, for instance, is unlikely to improve quickly. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Warsaw Radio said today that police have arrested 12 people described as ringleaders of the two-week sit-in at the Piast coal mine in Silesia. In Los Angeles, where President Reagan is vacationing, aides say the president is ready to announce political and economic sanctions against the Soviet Union in reprisal for the military repression in Poland. An administration official says Mr. Reagan will block the sale of industrial technology to the Russians. More when CBS News continues.
The Wall Street Journal helps keep you informed of everything happening anywhere that could affect your future and your company's future. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for just $41. That's less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-5505. That's 800-228-5505. Except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
The Texas Longhorns take on the Crimson Tide of Alabama in the Cotton Bowl New Year's Day. I'm Jack Buck, CBS Radio Sports. I'll be there in Dallas to call the play-by-play for you. Roman Gabriel will be alongside with his expert analysis. You're going to hear a lot of action, Texas against Alabama in the Cotton Bowl New Year's Day, beginning at 2 Eastern Time on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. Hear it here.
In Cairo today, 40 defense attorneys walked out of court to protest the way the military is handling the trial of the accused assassins of Anwar Sadat. The lawyers say they will explain at a news conference. Former Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban has accused Prime Minister Begin and other government leaders of compromising Israel's reputation for decency and reason with what Eban calls their diatribe against the United States. Eban referred to remarks made by Begin and Defense Minister Sharon, who severely criticized Washington for its punitive actions against Israel in response to the extension of Israeli law to the Syrian Golan Heights. China today demanded clarification of the American decision to sell military spare parts to the nationalist government on Taiwan. A spokesman for the Reagan administration disclosed the planned sale yesterday, but said no decision had been made on dealing fighter jets to Taiwan. Federal officials say nearly 600 Haitian refugees interned near Miami have ended their hunger strike. The refugees are demanding immediate release from the camp. During a melee between demonstrators and guards on Sunday, more than 100 refugees escaped. The price of gold is below the $400 mark this morning. In London, the fix was $396.25 an ounce. More after this.
Hi, Mom. I thought we'd better get an early start for that garage sale.
Afraid I'm not going, Judy.
But why, Mom?
I've got a nagging backache.
Oh.
You see, I started cleaning the house for the party next weekend.
And you overexerted yourself, right?
Oh, I guess.
Why don't I get you some Doane's pills? I'm sure they'll help you.
Doane's pills, of course. Now, why didn't I think of that?
Good advice. Doane's pills. It saved the day for thousands of people with simple nagging backache pain. Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic brings temporary relief of minor backache pain brought on by overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills. It brings the kind of welcome relief you may need.
Hello?
Feeling better, Mom?
Just like my old self again. Those Doane's pills are such a comfort.
The garage sale's still on. Want to go now?
Love to.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Use only as directed.
The bear hunt that began late Sunday in England is still in progress in an unlikely place, East London, in a desolate area known as the Hackney Marshes, where four boys swear they saw a giant, great, growling bear. Some paw marks have been found. An expert says they could have been made by a bear, but so far, no one else has seen that bear. CBS News. Warsaw Radio says police have arrested the leaders of a Silesian coal mine sit-in. I'm Jay Jones, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The broadcast on the government-controlled radio says 12 people, described as ringleaders, have been rounded up in connection with the two-week sit-in at the Piast coal mine, which the government alleges came to an end yesterday. Warsaw Radio says the sit-in was the last known organized resistance to martial law. But other reports reaching the West say workers elsewhere in Poland are sabotaging production, and Polish emigres in Britain claim passive resistance is widespread in their homeland. In Moscow, the Soviet newspaper Pravda hinted that the Polish Communist Party should purge its ranks. Pravda criticized what it calls the failure of the party to cope with Solidarity. President Reagan is expected to announce what action the United States will take against the Soviet Union for backing the Polish crackdown. Aides with the president in Los Angeles say Mr. Reagan will announce political and economic sanctions today, including the withholding of industrial technology sales to the Russians. More when CBS News continues.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, note this toll-free number, 800-821-7700. You are invited to telephone Vantage Press, a leading New York subsidy publisher, for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. Just call this toll-free 800 number, 821-7700. This brochure explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. The number is 800-821-7700. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, this 40-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, dial 800, then 821-7700. The phone call is free. If this is your first book, you will find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Dial 800, then 821-7700, except Alaska and Hawaii.
In Italy, experts are examining the photograph of kidnapped American General James Dozier, released by Red Brigade's terrorists, trying to determine if it was faked. Police say the photo is a sign that Dozier is still alive, but Gary Shepard in Verona says so far the dragnet has been fruitless.
Police not only here in Verona, but all over northern Italy have been searching for the past 12 days, trying to find some clue as to the whereabouts of General Dozier and his kidnappers. They've come up with nothing, and last night, authorities got together and decided to intensify their search to expand the series of roadblocks all over the Verona area and elsewhere, hopefully to find some clue, to find some member of the Red Brigade, perhaps, driving through a roadblock who might have some documents on him or some other evidence that will lead them to the hideout. And so for that reason, they've increased the number of roadblocks in many parts of northern Italy, and they hope that this intensified effort might yield some results. But so far, there have been none.
CBS News correspondent Gary Shepard in Verona, Italy. 40 defense attorneys walked out of court en masse in Cairo today to protest the way military judges are handling the trial of the accused assassins of Anwar Sadat. One lawyer complains that the military panel is rejecting all his requests. The defense claims the Egyptian penal code that prescribes the death penalty is unconstitutional. Fred Collins, a sheriff's investigator in Orange County, California, says he has uncovered a scam in which thieves may have collected more than $1 million in phony jackpots in Las Vegas. The scheme is said to involve the use of counterfeit slot machine keys. A spokesman says President Reagan will be at his desk in Los Angeles today signing bills into law, defense spending, Social Security, and foreign aid measures. There are 36 acts of Congress before the president. He's expected to sign almost all of them. Tomorrow, Mr. Reagan will travel to Palm Springs, California, to spend New Year's with former Ambassador Walter Annenberg. More news after this.
It's a season people caring, helping others, time for sharing. Everyone's warming up with the taste of Maxwell House. People that you've come to count on, friendships that are true. Spend some time with friends and loved ones. Maxwell House and you. Get that good to the last drop feeling. With Maxwell House, only Maxwell House gives you good to the last drop feeling. Maxwell House.
Share the feelings of the season with the warmth of the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
For
Fernando Valenzuela had a secret. He was engaged. The 21-year-old Dodger pitcher married 19-year-old Linda Burgos in Merida, Mexico yesterday in a civil ceremony. Tonight they plan to exchange vows in church. Since Valenzuela speaks no English, few people in Los Angeles know much about his private life, and the wedding comes as something of a surprise. Several of Valenzuela's teammates have been invited to the church ceremony in Merida, as well as his team manager, Tommy Lasorda. Jay Jones, CBS News.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Joe Sobrin. The United Nations Security Council has unanimously condemned Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights, the United States joining the censure. I don't mind that we voted against Israel. I mind that we keep voting at all. Why isn't the UN talking about the crackdown in Poland? I'll tell you why not. Because the people who are doing the cracking down, the Soviet puppets, are the ones the UN recognizes as Poland's representatives. What a mockery of the original idea of world government, of a democratic global parliament. The elected head of the United States has one vote in the General Assembly. The unelected head of the Soviet Union has, in effect, 10. We can't deal seriously with the Soviet threat as long as we're honoring the fictions of the United Nations and pretending that Soviet puppets are sovereign states. We've had a lot of confusion on this score in the last few years. Gerald Ford said Poland wasn't Soviet-dominated. Jimmy Carter said Poland met our standards of human rights. In recent days, there's been considerable talk about whether the Soviets will intervene in Poland. The answer is, of course, that they intervene constantly and have done so ever since 1945, when they seized Poland and promised to hold free elections. We're still waiting for those elections. Meanwhile, the puppets use the UN to vote resolutions condemning the behavior of societies far more free and just than themselves. Our difficulty is that it's a breach of international etiquette to tell the most obvious truths about the Soviet Empire. Gerald Ford and even Jimmy Carter must have known the truth about Poland, but they didn't dare say it. Yet they were ridiculed for pretending. President Reagan did tell the truth when he said the Soviets would lie, cheat, and murder to gain their ends. Yet he was accused of revealing his anti-Soviet ideology. Under the rules of this weird game, we can't win. I'm reminded of King Lear's fool who says, "I marvel what kin thou and thy daughters are. Thou'lt have me whipped for lying. They'll have me whipped for speaking true. And sometimes I'm whipped for holding my peace." International diplomacy has become a propaganda carnival in which the U.S. seems peculiarly unfitted to compete. We should demand serious reforms in the United Nations or pull out. And we should talk with the Soviet Union only when it serves our purposes to do so. This is Joe Sobrin for Spectrum.
Spectrum broadcasts six viewpoints on public issues Monday through Saturday. The personal opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the CBS Radio Network.